response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Station. They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I don't need the stimulation and verification and validation and praise.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Jeff Lutz.
You do. You gotta be loved.
Eunice, meanus, usness, weenus, yawns, minus. Happens.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could spit.
Stand by for action.
Hello, everybody. It's a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz with you until 4 o'clock today, or a few minutes before 4. Jeff just broke the news to me that he's too heartbroken to watch baseball in the World Series. I just don't understand it.
Not ready for it yet.
Well, you don't have to. It's 3 days away.
I probably won't be ready for it then either, but I guess we'll find out.
It's baseball. It's our last, it's the last two teams standing. After the World Series, we got a long, cold winter.
There's plenty of other things that'll keep me occupied in the winter.
Well, you say you'll get into the Pacers.
And I will. And I did last year. And I will again this year. So I'm not necessarily worried about
that. What's their starting lineup?
I can name every player on the team, but if you want their starting lineup.
Let's hear their starting lineup.
Tyrese Halliburton, Andrew Nimhardt, Aaron Nesmith, Pascal Siakam, and Miles Turner.
Well, there you go. And they play the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night.
Tomorrow at 6.
Two games on the docket as the NBA opens tonight. And I'm looking forward to it, I guess. I'm going to tune in to Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have something to say.
What do they call that inside the NBA?
That's correct. What's the opener tonight? Philly and somebody?
Boston and somebody.
The Knicks?
No, it's I don't know. Boston, Milwaukee? What am I?
I don't know.
Don't do that to me.
I just know we got an Eastern game, and then we got Lakers, Minnesota as the late one. Bronny James. I mean, let's get this spectacle over with. This contrived. I feel bad because the Griffies.
Knicks Celtics.
There you go. I feel bad because the Griffies are going out there. Two guys that, you know, earned their way into
who?
Being the Griffies. Ken and Ken.
What about them?
They're going to be at the Lakers game tonight.
So?
Because that's Bronny and LeBron James. I feel bad. I feel bad for
why?
Them. Because they're two guys that, you know, deserve to be in the big leagues.
You're turning on the Bronny now?
He doesn't deserve to be in the NBA. I don't think anyone believes that he's an NBA player right now.
You're turning on him.
I just don't like it. If we're going to make moments like that, let's make them at least genuine. But we live in a social media, TikTok world. We want our latest viral moment. It is what it is, but
I thought you like LeBron.
I do like LeBron. That doesn't mean I have to celebrate his kid being in the NBA.
A lot of people like me. Should they celebrate you?
They should sell it. They should love me if they like you.
What if they think you're part of the TikTok world? You were brought on here to appeal to the Instagram crowd.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
What if that's the thinking?
So be it. I don't think it is. I think I'm here on my own merit. But if others believe otherwise, then that's certainly their opinion. That's what we're here to do, right? Share opinions. Do you think Bronny is a legit NBA player?
Well, yeah, if he's playing, I think the Lakers want him to play.
Come on.
Well, I'd have to ask Tony Dusing. Does he think you're
Tony
a legitimate
Dusing?
Guy here?
What does Tony Dusing have?
Well, I'm drawing the comparison.
He signs my paychecks every week. I assume that he's okay with me being here.
Bronny's going to have his paycheck signed.
Is he?
So isn't it kind of similar?
No, if you were running the radio station and here you go, I kind of am running the radio station.
Well, don't put words into my mouth.
I know what you're about to say before you even say it. Tony kind of does kind of look to me for guidance.
Well, he's told me that, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no need for me to repeat it.
LeBron is the face of the Lakers, and they want to keep him happy. I don't think keeping you happy is necessarily on Tony Dusing's agenda.
I'm hard to keep happy.
Which is why he shouldn't try and probably doesn't.
He probably doesn't and probably shouldn't, and you're probably right.
Thank you.
But I am hard to keep happy.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've been over here all day. We're at the Leslie Rudd Learning Center on the campus of League 42 at McAdams Park. And I've been over here all day, and meanwhile, they're putting countertop in over at my house.
Is anybody over there?
Over there to give me do some measurements on my bathroom. We're going to get that replaced.
I like how
you
said
unbelievable.
My house and my bathroom.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
What's unbelievable about
everything
it?
Going on? All this remodeling this dropped on me. I feel like I had no real control over.
Or did you make the choice? I feel like I believe it, to be honest with you. No offense.
What do you mean you believe it?
You said it's unbelievable. Do you believe in it? And yeah, I do, actually. I believe it.
Well, you saw the new piping from in the laundry room yesterday.
I wasn't sure what my reaction to that was supposed to be.
What'd
you think? How would you answer that question? Well, if I brought you over to my house and showed you some new piping going to my laundry situation, or what would you
say?
Well,
I'd look at it and say, that looks pretty modern. I'm probably going to work for you. You know, we had a drainage issue, so I had to get that done. This isn't stuff you line up to get done. You don't show up at the Ready Industry saying, hey, thank God you're open. I'm ready to get this. No.
Yeah, but they'll certainly find it if they're out there for something else, won't they?
So now you're accusing people. Listen, I'm going to be very happy when all this is done. But it's been a process.
I'm sure they
You've
saw
seen
you.
The mess my house is. I'm tired of that.
I understand. But I'm sure they saw you roll up in your purple shirt and said, this guy, we can take him for something.
What's wrong with my purple shirt?
I like your, it's kind of lavender.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's a nice color. You feel good about it?
I don't feel anything about
it. It's a good color for you.
You don't like it?
No, it's a good color for you.
Shortly before we went on the air, well, not really shortly, but my Cardinals went in and plucked one of your Guardians to come and run our minor
hours.
League.
I read about that this morning. I don't know where you were.
We're going to, well, I've been busy.
Katie Wu had that this morning on The Athletic.
We're going to pluck one of your guys to come in and run our minor league system.
Congratulations. That's who you should be.
32-year-old whiz kid.
That's who you should be plucking from is the Guardians if you want help with your major league.
What do you know about him? Rob Chipolo.
Not much. Chris Antonetti's the guy out front in our organization. They don't give many other guys much airtime.
What have they said on social media about it?
No, I'm not on social media.
What's Zach Mizell drop?
I haven't seen Zach Mizell say anything about it.
See, I don't understand why you don't follow him on social media.
I'm off my Guardian.
I got to have my updates.
I'm off my Guardian's social media.
Well, don't you follow him on The Athletic?
I mean, I read about him. It was the Katie Wu story, though. Zach Mizell didn't have anything. I'm now on my Pacers
story. By the way, Katie Wu's kicking Derek Gould's behind on breaking news for the Cardinals. Should I tell him that?
Probably not.
Probably not. I like Derek.
I don't think
He's a little...
Is he a breaking news guy or is he a storyteller guy?
He's the beat writer.
Okay.
You better be breaking news, right?
That's probably part of the job. They must prefer Katie Wu in the organization. Give her the scoops instead of poor Derek.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how that works. We normally don't take calls in this first segment, but for Anthony, we will. Anthony, what's up? The IHOP hotline. 869-1240, $6 special meals for you at IHOP Monday through Friday. What do you have, Anthony?
Well, since you said like that, I think I'm going to go to IHOP and I'll just call back later. No, we want you.
We want you. We're all for you. We want to hear what you have to say.
Well, yeah, I called yesterday and I heard you say, well, we'll get back to that later. And you guys kept the love fest going between Jeff and Bob, made for radio, shall I say. I mean, that's what drives ratings. It's the back and forth banter. But, you know, I called in yesterday and I told you about the game that I went to. And it was a very intriguing game because you had Cheney coming in, which was ranked number 2 in 3A. And my observation is I think Cheney still felt like they had something to prove, because how is it that you were the 3A state champions and you're still ranked number 2 behind the team that you knocked off their perch, which is Andale? But you have to give kudos to Collegiate and the way they came out and played that game from start to finish. There was one moment in that game where I thought maybe Cheney was getting ready to exert their will, because Collegiate went down to the 2-yard line, turnover on downs, and then first play from scrimmage for Cheney was a 98-yard pass play. I'm like, okay, now we're about to get a game. But I want you guys to remember this name. His name is Sebastian Hines-Turner, 6'4 kid. He's a junior wide receiver. I'm sitting in the stands with an assistant coach from Tabor, and I looked over and I said, did you have him on your radar? Because I think he was there to scout Josh Burdick for Cheney, the quarterback. Good kid to scout, too. He said, no, but he's on my radar now. So I just wanted to give y'all some insight about that game.
Yeah, there you go.
All he did was put up 82 yards reception, 10 catches, 3 touchdowns. But it was a total team effort. So Collegiate also has some to prove as well, too, and I think they were the team that proved it most. So I just wanted to give my insight, and thank you guys for taking my call. And
thank you, Anthony. We appreciate it. Yeah, Collegiate opened some eyes.
We have another call.
We do. Here's Mike. World. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon. Guys, I love your
What's
show.
Up?
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I've got a situation with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, for years we watched him roll his eyes and complain and say he's going to drink scotch on Sunday night if they win or lose. And it's just kind of pathetic, really. I mean, I think they should start calling it 8-ball, since that's his jersey number. Flashes of brilliance, I give it to you. But then there's flashes of mediocrity, and usually you can count on an Oski in the last 2 minutes. And I think
are you a Jets kind of fan?
No, I'm not. I'm
then what's your, then you got to be happy. You ought to be thrilled. You ought to be. This should be a call of elation. You should be joyful.
Well, yeah. Who do you root
why
for?
Why do you care about? Who cares what Aaron Rodgers is doing?
Well, I must say I revel in what's happened to be unfolding. I don't wish anybody well. I don't want to be a hater, but.
No, it's okay.
He's probably, you know, karma.
There you go. That's a little more like it.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah, go after him, man. What do you mean? What are you laughing about when I say, what's your problem?
Me?
Yeah, he said, I don't want to be a hater. And I said, go for it.
Well, I didn't understand the call.
I don't think in life you need to be a hater. But if you want to be a hater in sports, it's okay.
Do you remember about 7-8 years ago at the beginning of this show when I told everyone and I told the world that Aaron Rodgers was a phony and a
fraud? I don't remember that.
I do, because I got some bad response.
From who?
Bad reaction. I think Dwayne Frazier was one of the people.
Dwayne Frazier who came after you?
A little bit, I
think. Mild-mannered Dwayne Frazier?
Yeah, and I was proven right, as I usually am. About these things.
Well, why would Dwayne Frazier take exception?
I don't know. I said something about Aaron Rodgers not speaking with us. I don't know if it was Dwayne. It probably wasn't.
Well,
it was, you know, I nailed it again.
Why did you say it was Dwayne if you're not sure?
I feel like it was Dwayne.
You feel like it was somebody who would typically not do something like that.
Right. Yeah. I feel like
who's softer spoken.
When somebody like Dwayne comes after you, you remember it. So.
Well, Dwayne will come after you.
He's only come after me twice, and that was
when was the other time?
Something I wrote on Facebook that he didn't agree with.
Well, I want to hear about
it. It was a political post, and it was a long time ago, and it's water under the bridge.
Are we over that?
Oh, well, yeah, clearly.
What do you mean clearly? I don't know if he's talking to you.
We talked at the state tournament this past spring.
Had a great time. What?
Had a great time.
Which state tournament?
5A. His grandson plays at Capen. I was.
I'm supposed to go to a soccer game tonight. Oh, I got boy. So much going on.
Why do I do this? I thought it was Thursday.
No. Why do I do this? You think Duda's listening?
Oh, I know somebody close to Duda's probably listening and can get this information back to him. So whatever you say.
You look disgusted with
I'm not really disgusted.
Am I reading that right?
I'm not really disgusted.
What are
you? I'm just kind of over this, you know? It's kind of like the Raiders thing. We're going to keep bringing it up.
You're right.
With no follow through, or are we going to do something?
You're right. But I got things, man. And things I don't think I'm going to have. Like today, I got a meeting here at 4 after the radio.
Just go.
And then I need to get home for the guys.
What time's the game?
4:45.
Go for a half. You'll be 5:15.
My wife's listening, help me through this dilemma.
30-minute half? I mean, it's an hour-long
game. Duda, if you're listening, help me.
You'll be home by 6:30 at the
Duda's
latest.
Duda's listening, isn't he?
Even if you go for the entire game.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are if you say you're going to do something, you don't get away with not doing it just because you haven't done it for years. Like, that's not an excuse.
Is it kind of cute that I don't do it?
No. I think people are afraid to tell you the truth about it.
Oh, now you've... Whoa!
I think it's a bad look.
Wow.
For a person who... claims to be a tent pole of the community.
I claim to be a tent pole of the community?
I've seen it.
When have I ever said that? Give me one example.
Oh, you know, the times that you've done it.
When?
Privately.
Oh, that privately, there's no way I'd do it privately.
And possibly publicly.
Is Duda texting?
I haven't seen Duda text. I've gotten no communication.
And this was the last game, but I think Jackson has been moved up to varsity.
What makes you say that?
Because last week he didn't play in the second half of the JV game. And Duda's theory, and I haven't asked him, I forgot to ask him. His theory was that he was either in the doghouse, which, come on, that's probably not the case.
You wouldn't think.
Or he was getting saved for varsity. Now, the last thing I want to do is show up out there for the JV game, and he's not playing.
That would be bad.
Man, why don't you text Duda?
No.
And find out.
I'm not involved in this.
Get involved with me.
I'm not going to get involved.
Help me out a little
bit. I'm sure somebody's listening and can shed more light on that situation.
Here's what we have on the show today. Barry Trammell, now from the Tulsa World, sports columnist, longtime Oklahoma journalist. Will join us at 2:25. Get his thoughts on the Sooners. Man, that's not good, what's going on with Oklahoma football.
Oklahoma State's pretty awful, too.
No, they went out and gave BYU a ball game.
Sure. Winless is winless, though.
At 2:45, Steve Martin, the head football coach at Northwest. They won another City League football championship. But what I want to get to with Steve is, where is the City League? Especially the public schools. Where are we? How do we get this better? It's time to delve in here. And I'm going to be the leader of that conversation. I'm going to be the tent pole.
Do I look bad?
Of the here's my wife texting. Should I look at it?
Well, we know what she's going to say.
I think you should go to the game even if you're late. And that's exactly how she said it.
Probably.
Very little... warmth in that text.
Probably not a punctuation mark at all in there.
Here's how she said it. You want me to repeat it?
No.
I think you should go to the game even if you're late. What do you have?
Did I make a mistake putting the South coach on last week before the Northwest
game? No. You didn't make a mistake, but you knew they were going to get trounced.
I didn't know it was going to be 62-8 or whatever it was.
Listen. South can beat North, West, Heights, Southeast, but there's only one kingpin in the public schools. Well, two, Northwest and East. And then Capon's good, but then Bishop Carroll has sunk to a low we never thought we'd see.
Strange.
And I mean, they're just not good.
And I'll take that back. I'm glad we had the South coach on because, you know who I heard from after that interview? My good friend Ron Baker texted me.
Really? What'd he text you about?
Said it was a good interview.
He's your good friend.
I guess. I mean, he must be if he's texting me during the show.
How did he get your
number? I don't know. I think I probably texted him about Aftershock stuff in the past. That would be my guess.
Hey, he hadn't texted me in a long time.
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I mean,
have you guys had a falling out?
No offense. I love Ron, but I don't live and die on his texting.
It was funny.
What do you mean it was funny?
We talked about it on Thursday, too, or whenever that show was. Was it Friday, Thursday?
What about it?
We had a nice little conversation about Ron Baker and his text. Wednesday is when it was.
I don't care. Who had a conversation?
Dude and me and Furches was in there. It was a good talk.
Well, Ron Baker's a fantastic
guy. What other former NBA players do you think should be texting me?
You really get a – that's really – you know how many times I've texted ex-NBA players?
I'm just saying, should they be texting me? I'm sure you – please, guys, can you come on my show?
I'll bet you Ron Baker texts me. Before he texts you.
All right, we'll find out.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with our friend Barry Trammell. He's been writing about sports in Oklahoma forever. He's currently at the Tulsa World. We'll check in with Barry next. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Barry Trammell from the Tulsa World. It's been a little bit since we've talked to Barry. Hello, Barry. How are you?
Well, how's things in Wichita?
Oh, you know, we're doing okay. Probably about the same as they are in Tulsa, would be my guess. I got to ask you before we get into the topics of the day. You were at the Daily Oklahoman forever. You were in Oklahoma City and, of course, Norman. Now you're in Tulsa. What's that been like? Has that been difficult, that transition?
Well, not really. Not too bad because, Bob, I didn't have to move. You know, I grew up in Norman. I've lived in Norman my whole life. I've changed jobs 3 times in 45 years, and never once did I have to leave my town. So that would have been a massive change.
I thought maybe you had to move.
Yeah, no, I didn't have to move. So I'm really blessed. So the job itself is very much what I've always been doing. So it's not that big of a deal.
Well, good.
You know, I'm covering the same things I covered with the Oklahoman, and so it's been good. You know, as soon as Cowboys Thunder.
There's one way in which it's different. You're covering a bad Oklahoma football team.
Boy,
now that you haven't done that much. What's going on?
They're not any good at all. They're not any good at all, man. What's interesting is that they're. The offense is historically bad. The defense is really good. Rick Venables, I didn't think he could instill a defensive culture this fast. So, you know, everybody you talk to in the SEC, coaches, media, all kinds of people, they look at the Sooners and say, that's a real SEC defense. That was a pipe dream. 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But the offense has just cratered. You guys have seen Oklahoma offenses forever. Did you ever think you'd see the day when OU would have the worst offense in a conference? I mean, how'd that? It's not even imaginable. But they are terrible on offense. Terrible.
Yes.
They can't block anybody.
So let's go ahead.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, they don't have any playmakers. They don't have anybody who can block. Quarterbacks are running for their lives. And heck, they might be good. They might not. Who knows? It's unfathomable.
Does the defense go any kind of distance in creating some rope for Brent Venables? Because when you're firing your offensive coordinator, switching your quarterback, and then switching it back, those are job-saving moves. Is it to that point with Brent Venables?
Oh, it's probably what's saving Brent. It's probably the $44 million buyout. That's probably what's saving his job. It's just a case of for 3 years, everybody's been asking, is OU SEC ready? Is OU SEC ready? Well, they're not ACC ready. I mean, if they were in the Big 12 this year, let's put them back in last year's Big 12, the 14 teams. Oh, you'd be clearly second division, and they, might be worse than that. They might be down in, 10, 11, 12 category. I mean, they can't move the ball. They can't do anything. So this is not an SEC problem. They're about to have SEC problems. They're about to play Ole Miss, Alabama, and LSU. They haven't even hit the meat of the schedule yet. So, it's just bad times in Norman.
And Missouri. The road to Missouri.
I'm not too big on Mizzou. I think that's actually a game. I don't think they'll win. But they at least have a shot. They got to beat one of those four to make a bowl game. And that Missouri,
well, they will win against Maine. I predict that. That's their remaining non-conference game.
I got a little bit of bad news. The Black Bears just beat Villanova, and Villanova was ranked fifth in 1AA. So, I don't think they'll lose to Maine, but I wouldn't. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Well,
I really don't.
Barry Trammell is our guest, sports columnist from the Tulsa World, has covered OU, Oklahoma State for decades now. Let's switch to Oklahoma State because they were showing some signs of what's the right word I'm looking for? They weren't very good either, but they went to BYU and gave them all they wanted. Is that salvageable in Stillwater?
Yes. The Big 12 wakes up in a new world every day. So anything can happen. I don't know that the difference between the best team and the worst team is all that much, especially if you throw out Houston. Kansas is what, next to last or whatever they are. OSU's in last place, and KU is, not doing well at all. But we know KU's capable of doing all kinds of things, and I think OSU is also. We saw it Saturday. I mean, Iowa State and Brigham Young, both playing at home, both playing against teams that were flailing and in danger of just total collapse, and they both got out of town with touchdowns in the last few seconds that saved their unbeaten seasons. So OSU could still turn around. They got five games left, and they could win any of them or they could lose any of them. So they showed a little bit of life, but it's just not a good season. The defense is not very good, and the offense can't block anybody. And they're just it's not what they thought they were. It's not what they were hoping for. So better luck next year. I think the Big 12's come down. I really think we're down to three contenders, and that's the two unbeatens and K-State. I think those are the three best teams. And I think we all owe Deion Sanders an apology because I think he's actually doing a pretty good job. They're not bad. They're pretty good on defense even. So, but it's an interesting and fun conference. I'm enjoying the heck out of following this Big 12.
Yeah, what about the SEC, though? Your first, not your first look, obviously, as a human being, but with Oklahoma in there, your first look at the new look SEC. Obviously, it's a great conference. I don't need to ask you necessarily your impressions of it, but just how good is it? And can Oklahoma? How far set back are they to being a contender? Is that something that they can fix in a year, 5 years? What does that look like?
Well, everybody can get a lot better and a lot worse, a lot quicker than in the old days, right? This program building is out the door. Nobody's building programs. You're building teams from year to year. Now, you know, there's some exceptions. You know, Matt Campbell, Chris Kleiman, Kirby Smart. I mean, we're talking, people still have programs, yes. But because of the portal, you can, you know, you look at what Indiana's done. You know, people like that have really turned things around quickly. So, Deion Sanders, perfect example. So, you can do it, but it's not easy, and it's hard in the SEC because, you know, when people talk about the depth of the SEC, that's a bunch of nonsense. I mean, what kills you in the SEC is not South Carolina's pretty good. It's that Georgia is dang near unbeatable, and Alabama and LSU always have better players than you, and those kinds of things. That's what's the killer in the SEC. You can be you can have a great team and not get any higher than fourth. So I think OU could turn it around pretty quick. Turning it around means 9-3. It doesn't mean 11-1.
Barry Trammell with us from the Tulsa World. Well, I love talking about this college football landscape. I've said it many times. It's really interesting right now because it's so new with NIL and transfer portal and all the things that have just made it a jumbled mess. I don't know if it has sustainability at that level, but for right now, it's really interesting. Let's talk about Texas because they had another chance to really stamp themselves the other day in their game against Georgia. We were all kind of on the verge of buying into Texas. Then they got beat pretty handily by Georgia. Where are we with Texas, Barry? Are they ever going to get to that promised land?
Well, I mean, I don't... promised land, I thought they got there last year. I thought they got there the year before. Was it the year before? Whatever year they went to Tuscaloosa and won. Maybe that was last season. But when they went, I guess that was last year, they went to Tuscaloosa and won. And I quit thinking about, is Texas back? What's Texas? You go to Tuscaloosa and win, I'm off your back. I'm not going to be criticizing any. So I think Sarkisian's doing a great job. I think he has transformed the program. Now, the idea, and this was not Texans, this is a lot of people predicting a big Longhorn victory Saturday. You know, to try to get caught up speed on the SEC, I've been listening to some podcasts, and Saturday Down South is sort of the one I've settled on. And a couple guys do a great job, and I keep up with the league really well that way. They picked Texas by 3 touchdowns Saturday. And when I heard it, I thought, wait, I'm not besmirching the Longhorns by doubting that, but they're playing Georgia. As you know, Georgia has not folded its program. So I think there's a little bit of a shiny new toy with Texas, even among SEC people. And could have been Oklahoma if the Sooners had come in 5 years ago or whenever. But Texas is coming in at a high. They'd beaten Alabama last year. They made the playoff. Everybody's excited. But Georgia is still Godzilla. You know, King Kong is not dead. So I think that's what it is. I think Texas is still really good. I think Texas will make the playoff. I don't know how they'll do. Just depends on the matchups, that kind of thing. I think they're one of the 5 or 6 best teams, but I doubt they're one of the 2 best teams. I don't think anybody's got up to Georgia, and I would throw Ohio State into that group. So, I just think Texas is a little bit of a shiny new toy.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess I'm with you on Texas. Lastly, before we let you go, we've got an NBA season starting tonight, and Oklahoma City is being looked at by many people, and not ridiculous. I mean, this is, I think I agree, as the favorites in the West. This is a team loaded with talent. How good are they?
They're really good. The season, the season will come down to injuries more than anything in terms of the regular season. The playoffs will come down to how you gel during the season and matchups and those kinds of things. But the Thunder is one of the – they're one of the three or four best rosters in the league, and they're one of the two or three best organizations in the league, and they don't do silly things, and that puts them in position. Now, they could make the Western Conference semifinals and, you know, keep saying Dirk Nowitzki. Luka Doncic can get hot and knock you out in the semifinals. That's what happened last year. But they're going to be in position to do it, and they've got one extra good player. They had a really good roster last year, and they got rid of Josh Giddey and brought in two really good players in Hartenstein and Alex Caruso. So roster is very deep. They can play big. They can play small. They play defense. They play offense. They've got what you need to win the NBA championship. Doesn't mean you will. NBA titles are not won in July. They're not. You set yourself up with good roster moves, but when it comes to the playoffs, then the guys have to play and you know, score the points and stop the possessions and rebound the ball and do the things that get you over the hump in game two or game five or whatever it might be. But the Thunder's going to be in position to be one of those teams. And that's really all you can ask for. And, you know, in Oklahoma City, a lot of people talk about, oh, this was a long time coming. This was a big drought. Yeah, it was a big drought. They were bad for a year and a half. Anybody want to go to Charlotte and talk to those guys about what bad basketball looks like over an extended period of time? We're very blessed here in this part of the country to have the Thunder, whose rebuilding was short and not that sour. So
short and, you know, sweet.
Kudos to Sam Presti. Yeah, it was very, very short. We're spoiled beyond belief here in Oklahoma.
Barry, it's always good catching up with you. Thank you for your time. We'll check in again soon, okay?
You bet, Bob. See you later.
All right, Barry Trammell from the Tulsa World. Steve Martin, our guest from Wichita Northwest.
Good, Bob. How are you?
We're good. We're happy to have you on. You have a big one coming up against Goddard Eisenhower, and then district play starts, the playoffs, essentially. How do you assess your season to this date?
Well, I mean, you know, we just wrapped up our seventh league title out of 10 years, you know, some number one, gold number one.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so, you know, really, well, these guys have done a good job of, and our staff has done a great job of attacking each week and kind of correcting all the mistakes we made from the week before. So, you know, we play a Eisenhower team that, you know, we don't have very familiarity with them. You know, this game really, in the great scheme of things for us, seeding-wise, doesn't matter to us. I know it matters to those guys. But really, we've just preparing this week like a normal week and, you know, making the things that we need to improve on to make a run in November.
So what are the parameters for City League scheduling? Because you've played five games in the City League. That seems like not very many. But you've played all the tough teams and beaten them. So what do you have to do to schedule? What are the rules, I guess, now? And since that's not much of a question, you have scheduled extremely difficultly in your other four games. So how much do you enjoy that and being able to test yourself in those games?
Do you have any idea what he just asked you, Coach?
I think he does.
Yes, I do. So our district ADs come up with our schedule, and, you know, they're working right now on our schedules for 2026 and 2027. So, you know, you look at a crystal ball. With our junior class, we know we had a lot of talent, and we felt like this was a class that needed to be pushed. And to be quite frank, there were some city schools that didn't want us on their schedule anymore. And so, you know, do you schedule someone and just say, give us anybody, or do you go out there and try to make yourself a very tough schedule? And we felt like Manhattan, Junction City, and Eisenhower outside of our league would give us a good test, you know, to get ready for November. You know, City League titles are great. You know, it's something that we can pat ourselves on the back. But at the end of the day, we want to make corrections to where we're ready to go in November. And, you know, our schedule, you know, when you look at it going into the year, you go, my gosh, if we have any injuries, you know, things could get really rough. And, you know, we attacked the offseason this year very hard because we knew that we were going to have to fight the battle of attrition. And our kids have responded to it. So, you know, very happy with where we're sitting right now. You know, do we wish we had the Manhattan game back? Yeah, but, you know, there are so many mistakes that we made as a team and as coaches that, you know, we're excited to get those fixed, and that's what we're working on. And, you know, there's going to be some things that we see from this Eisenhower game Friday that we'll need to get corrected before we play some other tough opponents in the playoffs. So, you know, we're excited. Our coach is doing a great job. Our kids are, you know, excited to be playing good football, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
Steve Martin, our guest from Wichita Northwest. I don't know if you know this. I'm rather old, and I'm rather at times have difficulty keeping that glass half full. So those two things are maybe working against me. But I remember when the City League was really good from top to bottom, really good, and every team was a threat. And are we ever going to get back to that? Or are we destined to see you guys and maybe East and occasionally maybe another public school step up and be decent, but have the bottom feeders really struggle? And how do we address this? Is it being addressed? Can we talk about it? Is anybody talking about it?
Well, you know, I think the big step forward is the district is finally understanding about our shareholders. And they're trying to do some things to have some cooperation with our youth league. I think this year, I know the numbers of teams that were out there in the youth leagues were not great. But, you know, being able to host those schools, those kids at our schools and let them get out in the different areas and spread them out, I think was something that, you know, the feedback that I hear has been great. But, you know, it's going to have to come down to development of kids and not have people that are worried about, you know, winning some state championship or whatever in a little league. It's really got to be about developing kids and getting them ready to teach them safe football. Because let's be honest with you, you know, our kids as freshmen, when they come to us, are behind every other school around us. You know, you look at Derby and what they're doing. That doesn't happen by accident. You know, you look at Mill Valley, that doesn't happen by accident. Those kids are immersed in Derby football and Mill Valley football, you know, probably up to second grade. And, you know, they're getting coached up that way. And, you know, it's because a lot of the control, you know, I'm good friends with both of them, Brandon Clark and Joe Appleby, have total control of their youth football teams. And that's why you keep seeing Derby in the state title game and Mill Valley in the state title game, because, frankly, their community is doing it correctly, just like, you know, where I grew up in Andale. You know, Coach Schmidt has a lot of say in the development of the youth league out there. And, you know, for that to happen, there's going to have to be some egos that set aside, whether that's youth coaches or administration in 259 or down in the Wichita City League director's office at the Parks and Boards Committee. You know, it's time that, you know, some control is taken over by the coaches, and they got to quit worried about, you know, the recruiting angle or whatever excuse they want to use, or it's unfair, because what's unfair is our kids are behind every other suburb, and it's just, we're just behind, Bob, to be honest with you.
Well, I hear you, but the worry I have, Coach, and I agree with everything
in the league, you know, the parity in the league. I mean, I don't know what the right answer is. You know, the answer is we worry about who's in our building and what we can control. And, you know, I don't know if they have quite the backing I have over here. I know I'm blessed with a support, you know, great support from our administration. And, you know, they pretty much let me coach my guys. And I think that's something that maybe doesn't happen all the time. But it's got to start in the youth leagues. And I believe there's conversations starting that are going to make it better. I hope so, for the sake of the league.
Well, what you just said, you believe there are conversations starting, is hopeful. So I guess I'll leave it at that for now. Keep me posted on how those conversations are going, okay?
Yep.
Okay, so Coach, we know you went to Andale. We know you've been at Northwest for a long time, and you know I live in the Andale district. My daughter went there. What was that a culture shock to you to go over to the City League and to Northwest after being at Andale? What were some of the differences that you kind of noticed right away?
Well, I mean, you know, before I came to Northwest, I was at Heights, and I got to work with Coach Wheeler, who I believe doesn't give enough credit for what he built at Heights and how he was able to build it into a state power. So, you know, I was a young head coach at Troy, Kansas, right out of college. I went to Bethel, and, you know, I wanted to learn how to run a successful program, and I had some connections with Coach Wheeler where I had some friends that knew Coach Wheeler, and those guys put in a good word for me, you know, and I owe a lot of our credit, you know, my credit to Coach for bringing me on and teaching me how to run a big school program. But, you know, for a culture shock, no. Going to college was more of a culture shock for me, leaving Andale and going to Bethel College, where, you know, we have a lot of international students from Florida, Texas, California. And, you know, I just fit in where I get in. And most of my friends grew up in the same type of environment that my City League kids that I've had at Heights and Northwest grew up in. And so, you know, I know the conversations I had with my college roommates, and I still have a lot of connections with those guys, and they always remind me where I came from. And, you know, for me, it wasn't big of a culture shock, you know, to go from growing up in Andale, Kansas, you know, to Wichita. I had a lot of cousins that, you know, a couple cousins that actually went to Northwest High School. So, you know, for me, you know, when people ask me and they say, how do you work with the City League kids? I go, what do you mean? They're kids. And so that's what the misnomer is kids are kids. It's how you treat them and how you build relationship with kids. We're in the people business. And I think a lot of people forget that at the end of the day.
All right. We always appreciate our conversations. Jeff has a wrestling
question.
So this
is where I usually ask you about wrestling, but I'm not today, but I will be equally self-serving. Did you read when I made puns about your players' names in Ketchikan, Kansas 2 weeks ago? Because I was immensely proud of that, and I was like, I hope Coach reads this.
It was very good. I appreciated the humor. We were actually chuckling at it as a staff, you know, and what's bad is when we go to outside the sea league and people can't pronounce their names and we laugh and we kind of make fun of people who can't, you know, sometimes understand phonics and, you know, we just kind of question where they went grew up. So, you know, it is what it is. But no, it's funny. I was going to send you a
Thank
text,
you.
But I said I'll just save it.
Well, you can text me your thoughts on the new versus old bloodline if you want to.
There you go.
Okay, I will do that. It's getting interesting,
Sounds
isn't
good.
It? So
it is.
Hey, Steve, we always really appreciate your time. Big game Friday night against Goddard Eisenhower. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. We'll take a break. We've got an hour left. We have a game coming up here in hour number two. Stay with us, the Bob and Jeff Show.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.